Yeah, now you can start seeing sprouts.
Okay, Madhuri. You want me to start from the beginning, Mataji? Because it was
Yes,
part
Prabhuji,
one.
If it is okay for you.
Okay, no problem. Vrindavana Ramya Sthana Divya Chintamani Dhamma Ratna Mandira Mano Uharam. Vrindavana Ramya Sthana Divya Chintamani Dhamma Ratana Mandira Manohara Avrita Kalindini Re Raja Hamsa Keli Kare Tahe Shobhe Kanaka Kamalam Avrita Kalindini Re Raja Hamsa Keli Kare Tahe Shobhe Kanaka Kamalam Madhye Hema Pitha Ashtadale Veshtita Ashtadale Pradana Nayika Tar Madhye Hema Pitha Ashtadale Veshtita Ashtadale Pradana Nayika Tar Madhye Ratnasani Boshiyache Doi Jani Shyama Sange Sundari Radhika Tar Madhye Ratnasani Boshiyache Doi Jani Shyama Sange Sundari Radhika Oro Pala Vanya Rashi Amiya Pariche Khasi Hasya Parihasa Sampha Shani Oro Pala Vanya Rashi Amiya Pariche Khasi Hasya Parihasa Sambhashani Narottama Dasa Koi Nitya Lila Shukamoy Sadai Swarup Morama Narottama Dasa Koi Nitya Lila Sukhamoy Sadai Spuruk Moramani. So I apologize that the harmonium didn't the voice was not audible. The translation, the first verse, the beautiful Vrindavana is filled with Chintamani gems and many jewel palaces and temples. Many regal swans play in the waters of the Yamuna, and in those waters a splendid golden lotus flower grows. Verse 2, in the middle of that lotus is a golden place surrounded by 8 petals. On these 8 petals, the 8 principal gopis reside. And in the center, Lord Shyamasundara and beautiful Srimati Radharani sit on a jewel throne. The great beauty of the divine couple and their charming joking and laughter continually showers nectar everywhere. Narottama Das says, I pray that these blissful, eternal, transcendental pastimes of the divine couple may be always manifested in my heart. Bhancha kalpatrubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah. This is a very beautiful song, prayers, meditations by Srila Narottamadas Thakur from the book called Prarthana. And the subject matter of these verses is Vrindavan. And I have, for discussion purpose, of to elaborate on this, these meditations of Srila Narottamadas Thakur, I've taken this from multiple angles to describe what is being described in this song about the lotus petals, the principal gopis, and in the center, Lord Shyam Sundar and Srimati Radharani, and the activities of the Lord and his associates in the Goloka. And we'll start with the discussion. So the first thing here is about the position of this Goloka, Goloka Vrindavan. The first thing that we understand here is that this Goloka Vrindavan does not belong to the mundane plane. It does not belong to the material universe, and there is nothing material about this Goloka Vrindavan. And that it is beyond the realm of anything mundane, anything that we can imagine to be of material, it is beyond that realm. What is the locus of this Goloka Vrindavan? So you have the different material universes, and the material, the covering of this material universes, of each of the material universe, there is a river called as the Virajanadi. Mm-hmm. This Virajanadi, it's the causal ocean. And this causal ocean is surrounding these universes. And on the shore of this Viraja Nadi, this causal ocean, is surrounded by the halo of the Brahman. So the halo of the Brahman, and the Isha Upanishad corroborates this. Satyaspikitam mukham tatvam pushan darshanat satya dharmaya drishtiye hiranmayena patrena. So that this halo is described there as hiranmayena patrena. So it is surrounded by the halo of the Brahman. Okay, that is the Brahman effulgence, which is and this is the it refers to the indistinguishable marginal energy, and so, and beyond that you have the Vaikuntha. There is the majestical power
Hare Krishna. Is that me only, for me only? Oh no, it's for everyone. Okay. Yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhu, we can't hear you. Now we can hear you. Yes, yes.
Okay. I'll share the screen again. So what could you, till what did you, were you able to hear, Mataji? Did you hear?
Surrounded by the halo of Brahman. Surrounded by the halo of Brahman.
So, then it's surrounded by the halo of the Brahman, which is the Tatastha Shakti. Okay, so that is the indistinguishable Brahman. So there, which is confirmed in the Isha Upanishad, Hiranmayena Patrena. Satyaspegata Mukham. So that is the Brahman effulgence. And beyond that, you have the Vaikuntha planet. And in the upper regions portion of this, you have the Shaktiman, who is the powerful. It's not here, we are not referring to the energies of the Lord, but the energetic Lord, the Shaktiman, and who is majestically present, and this majestic power is of unlimited, and he has unlimited spiritual energies emanating from him in this luminous sphere. So that portion, okay, from that emanates, it's eternally present, an eternally present plane, the supreme transcendental plane called as the Goloka. So this Goloka is the upper portion of the luminous sphere of the Vaikuntha, where Krishna is present as Shaktiman, or the energetic, and he's eternally present in this supreme plane. And it is eternally there. It's never created. It never, there is nothing temporal about this plane. So the locus of this Goloka is beyond the shore of the Virajanadi, that is the causal ocean. You have the Brahman effulgence. And beyond that, you have the Vaikuntha planets. And in that, the upper portions of the luminous sphere, you find this most charming Goloka as the supreme transcendental plane. And in this plane, you have an assorted display of the pastimes of the spiritual beings. All the spiritual beings, they display so many pastimes here in relationship with Krishna. So the difference between, what is the difference between the Goloka described here, Goloka Vrindavan, and the Gokul, which, so the scriptures say that the Goloka and Gokul are identical. It's the same sphere in the upper transcendental situation. In the Vaikuntha, it is called as Goloka, but in the mundane situation, so in front of a materially conditioned eyes, the same sphere appears as Gokul. So the Lord, he displays his pastimes in this land, okay, as in the Gokul, just as how he displays his pastimes in the Goloka. And how do we know this? The Brihad Bhagavatamrita states that the pastimes in the Gokul are enacted by the Lord just as how he enacts in the Goloka. So that there is no practical difference between Gokul, okay, and Goloka Vrindavan. So the Goloka specifically refers to that plane which is eternally manifested, and it is always there. It is always there in the upper luminous portions of the transcendental portions of the supremely transcendental portion in the Vaikuntha. Though both are identical, both Goloka and Gokul are identical, yet the Krishna's inconceivable energy, his Achintya Shakti, has made the Goloka the pinnacle of spiritual kingdom. So Vaikuntha, there is nothing, it's beyond duality. Even though Vaikuntha is beyond duality, there is spiritual variegatedness. So in that spiritual variegatedness, you find a pinnacle in the spiritual kingdom of Vaikuntha. There you find the reflection, and for that you have in for our eyes in the material cosmos, we see it as Gokul, okay, of the Mathura province, okay, which is part of the mundane plane. And this is, we can get it from the Shakt Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami states this in the Krishna Sandarbha. Though both Gokul and Goloka Vrindavan are identical, but the Krishna's inconceivable energy has made that into the pinnacle of spiritual kingdom. So let's continue a little more analysis of the difference of what we understand between Goloka and Gokul. So, first thing, even in the mundane situation, Gokul is in the spiritual plane. Okay, the Gokul is in the spiritual plane. So what is Gokul? Gokul, it has the Gokul, the plane has condescended. It has condescended into the material space, within the realm of material space and time. Okay, but it is still no way restricted, and it is unlimitedly manifested. So even though this Gokul has condescended, it is from the spiritual plane into the region where we are able to perceive this plane through from our eyes. We are not actually able to see the actual spiritual plane, but it has condescended into this region of material space and time. But nevertheless, its true position is that it is unlimitedly manifested. Even though it is not, even though it is condescended, it is still unlimitedly manifested. The Vrindavan that we see in the Mathura district. So why is it so? Because the conditioned souls are apt to assert. So the conditioned souls, they will give a material conception to this Gokul because of our senses. Because of our material senses, we give a material conception to this Gokul, and hence that is what we are able to see. But the idea of Goloka is seen to differ from Gokul, okay? Until the point that one is successful in unalloyed devotion. So until one is successful, until one gets the spiritual vision to be able to see the Goloka, the Gokul, which has condescended into this material cosmos, will appear different from the Goloka. So, but once that position is reached, at that time, they both appear non-different, and even though, however we perceive, it is always unlimitedly manifest. But independent of it, we have to reach the stage where we are able to. And what is the stage? It is a success in unalloyed devotion. There is no contamination in this devotion. It is pure devotional service and doing anything for the sake of Krishna. The transcendental plane. Okay, so this transcendental plane, there are infinite manifestations in this. So that is what this verse is saying here about the 8 petals in the center. In this, if you see the Ashta, there's 8 petals in the center. But the transcendental plane, okay, so there are thousands of petals, okay, and they are all like the corolla of this lotus flower. But in the center, you have these 8 petals. And that is what is described in this particular prayers by Srila Narottama Das Thakur. And then in the center, you have the divine couple, Sri Radha Krishna. So, there are 2 kinds of pastimes, and one is called as the manifested pastimes, and the other is called the non-manifested. So where are the manifested pastimes of Krishna and where are the non-manifested pastimes of Krishna? Non-manifested just means that it is not manifested in front of us, okay, in front of the conditioned souls. So the pastimes in Vrindavan that is visible to the mortal eyes are called the manifestive leela of Sri Krishna. Okay, so these are the pastimes that we are able to see. Okay, they are visible to the mortal eyes, to the material eyes. They are called as the manifested pastimes, and they are visible in the Gokul, the Vrindavan, here in our material cosmos. However, the non-manifested leela is always visible in the Goloka. Those pastimes that are eternally going in is visible in the Goloka. So that is the difference between the Gokul and the Goloka. In Gokul, those pastimes are manifest, and even the mortal eyes are able to see it. What in its own limited material conditioning, but the non-manifested, it is not manifested for us. But that leela is visible and it is eternally manifest in the Goloka, in the spiritual domain. So that means the summary is that the same is visible to the human eyes in Gokul. So whatever is there in Goloka is visible to the human eyes if Krishna desires. Krishna, being the transcendental autocrat, when he desires, it becomes visible to our eyes in Gokul. But the non-manifested pastimes, okay, are expressed in... So you have the non-manifest pastimes in Goloka, and then they become expressed, okay, as in Gokul. And this is called as the manifestive Krishna Leela, okay? And both of this, okay, both of this... So whatever is non-manifest are expressed in the Krishna Leela when Krishna descends here. And the same Goloka Leela is the non-manifestive pastimes of Krishna, but from the mundane plane. So from us, from here, we are able to see that. So this is confirmed in the Krishna Sandarbha. So let's just take a brief description of how, this is from Gautamiya Tantra, which is cited by the Goswamis. So Vrindavan is a place of ever increasing joy. Flowers and fruits of all seasons grow there. So these are all spiritual flowers, spiritual fruits. They're all they're not made of matter, but they are spirit in essence. So flowers and fruits of all seasons grow there. And that transcendental land is full of sweet sound of various birds. It's just that we need to have the eyes to see this Vrindavan. That is why when a materialist goes to Vrindavan, they are not able to see the Vrindavan. They see some streets, they see that there's some animals here, there. That is all they're able to see. But they cannot see the Vrindavan because the material eyes are blind to be able to see anything spiritual. So they don't have the chakshu. So all directions in this Vrindavan, they resound with the humming of the bumblebees. And it is served with the cool breezes and the waters of the Yamuna River. So here is a description of that supreme plane where all the directions are resounded with the humming of the bumblebees. Okay, so they're all spiritual beings in an assortment of activities, transcendental spiritual variegatedness. And they served with cool breezes and the waters of the Yamuna River. And this Vrindavan is decorated with the wish-fulfilling trees. So all these trees, they give whatever desire. They're all spiritual desires. And so that is why it is called Kalpata Vrikshas. But it's like full of them, but no material desires. All spiritual desires wound with creepers and beautiful flowers. So it is, its divine beauty is ornamented with the pollen of red, blue, and white lotuses. So it is an amazing place where there is no time, there is no miseries, there is no anxiety, there is no, everything is dovetailed and in a supremely enjoyable position. And the ground is made of jewels whose dazzling glory is equal to the, myriad of suns rising in the sky at one time. So there is so much effulgence here. So that is what is, so the Vaikuntha planets, they are like eternally effulgent this way. On that ground is a garden of desire trees, which always shower divine love. In that garden is a jeweled temple whose pinnacle is made of rubies. So that is what Narottama Das Thakur is referring to here, that there is there are temples. And so there is a temple whose pinnacle is made of rubies. It is decorated with various jewels, so it remains brilliantly effulgent through all seasons of the year. Even though the word all seasons of the year is used here, we should not think that it is time-based year. So if there is no time, then where is the season? Where is the year? Because all of this are manifested in the Goloka, but it is all by the spiritual will. So there is no sun and all those things to cause seasons, but all those beautiful things are there. And what we see here as sun-created seasons are all just a reflection of what we see in the spiritual abode. So here a sun is required to create those kind of seasons. But in the spiritual world, all those seasons exist independent of the presence of the sun. The temple is beautified with bright colored canopies, glittering with various gems and endowed with ruby decorated coverings and jeweled gateways and arches. Its splendor is equal to millions of suns, and it is eternally free from the six waves of material miseries. In that temple, there is a golden throne inlaid with many jewels. So that is again described here in this prayer of Srila Narottamadas Thakur. In this way, one should meditate on the divine realm of the Supreme Lord, Sri Vrindavan Dham. So this meditation, whatever the Gautamiya Tantra is saying, that is what Srila Narottamadas Thakur is meditating on in this particular, these very nice prayers of Vrindavan Ramyasthan. So let's also see how this Goloka is also referred to in the Upanishads. We can get the feature of it from the Chandogya Upanishad. And I've taken this translation here from Madhvacharya. There are very nice translations of Madhvacharya of Chandogya Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad, and many Upanishads, very nice ones. And then this Chandogya Upanishad, this is the verse where it says, Bruyad Yavan Va Ayam. And then it goes on to describe Agnischa Vayuscha Surya Chandramasa Ubhav Vidhyun Nakshatraniya. So, Chashi Hasti. So in this way, it goes on to say that in the material world, universe, you have the wind, you have the fire, you have the sun, you have the moon, you have the stars. So many variegatedness are there in the material world. But in the spiritual world, there are way more variegatedness than this, that all the variegatedness of this mundane world are there, like what is mentioned here as what we see here as the different planets, the sun, the moon, the stars, and so on. But all this variegatedness, beyond that, there is variety in the spiritual world. Okay, that to be found in the Goloka. So the variety in the transcendental world is fully centralized. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the mundane world, it is not so. Okay, and hence we have all miseries and everything. But there, everything is there present in that one place of Goloka. Okay, it is one place. It is centralized. It's there in the place of Goloka. But here, it is all, there is so much variations and producing that lack of permanent feature and producing anxiety and misery. That lack of permanence becomes the cause of the anxiety itself. And hence the centralized variety of Goloka, what is that centralized variety? It is that of unalloyed, and it is unalloyed, full of transcendental cognitive joy. So there is so much of cognitive joy, and that is the central tenet of that beings there who are fully self-realized, and not just self-realized, but in all, they've crossed all the stages of Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. The Bhagavan realization gives that kind of a full transcendental cognitive joy. So the Brahma Samhita states that this ocean, this Goloka, is also described there as Shweta Dvipa. So I want to make a clarification here that this Shweta Dvipa is not the one that we studied in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. In the material universe, there is a Shweta Dvipa, okay, so where we have near the pole star. If we see the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, there is description of the milk ocean where Krishna descends in the material cosmos as Vishnu, and where he lies, and there he's there as the in the milk ocean. So this is not that Shweta Dvipa, but this transcendental seat, okay, in the called Goloka, is also described as the Shweta Dvipa. And why is that so? Because here you have loving consorts, all the gopis here in the Brahma Samhita are described as Lakshmis, and they have unalloyed spiritual essence. Okay, so that is their activity. So their activity is that they have unalloyed spiritual essence as the practice, okay? And they do amorous service to the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover, okay? And what is the description the Brahma Samhita says for this place called the Shweta Dvipa, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, Okay, so there is every tree is transcendental, where the soil is a purpose gem. So it is like every soil is spirit in nature and is a purpose. All water is nectar. Every word is a song. Okay, everything is so mellifluous to hear. Every gate is a dance. The flute is a favorite attendant. So the flute serves Krishna as it is not something which is matter, but it is a favorite attendant of Krishna. The effulgence is full of transcendental bliss. And the supreme spiritual entities, okay, with all assortment of pastimes, everything is enjoyable and tasty. And here there are a huge number of cows that provide the milk, okay, and these emit this transcendental oceans of milk, okay, so that is the shweta. Shweta means white, okay, whereas there is eternal existence of transcendental time. So it is not a material time, this is a transcendental time, okay, which is beyond what, when we say time, we refer to things that will get destroyed. Mm-hmm. But this refers to the transcendental time, and it is always in the future called as ever present. There is no past, there is no future, and it is always in the present. And hence it is not subject to what quality is not there. There is no quality of passing away. Mm-hmm. Even half a moment does not pass. So there is no passing away of any moment. So what is the conclusion of this? That the twofold entities, okay, you have the supreme Goloka and the supreme Shweta Dvipa, they are indivisibly in the realm of Goloka. So those who are so purified in their rasa, so in so much in the devotional mellow, they are able to enter this spotless zone called as the Shweta Dvipa. Okay, this island called Shweta Dvipa, which is non-different from the Goloka. So I just took this. So this is covered in two verses in the Brahma Samhita. And it's, you can see mention of the Shweta Dvipa as in verse number 5 of Brahma Samhita. And I would also suggest to look at verse number 56, where there's like several paragraphs of description of this Shweta Dvipa. So this Shweta Dvipa is, but one thing is that we should not confuse this with the Shweta Dvipa, which is the milk ocean in the material zone, material universe, because this Shweta Dvipa is not manifest. It is only meant for where there is the word Shweta here, because there is no contamination whatsoever. So it is like pure, and hence it's spiritual in nature, and hence it is called as Shweta Dvipa. That realm is known as Goloka, okay, to a very few self-realized souls in the world. Mm-hmm. So out of many, many bhunam janmanante, so out of many, many people, only few are even self-realized. Out of those self-realized, very few are able to practice and even go towards the service of the Lord. And out of those who are going to the service of the Lord, even very few are able to realize this realm of Goloka known as the Shweta Dvipa. So how are we able to enter into the pastimes of Krishna? So that is described in this book called as the Hari Bhakti Vilasa. Sanatana Goswami wrote it, and it was compiled by Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So there are six methods that is being described here in this Hari Bhakti Vilasa. One, it is called as Krishna Swarupa. So Krishna Swarupa, it means, so we have to realize these six processes. So Krishna Swarupa is the proper energetic personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, appearing in the Bhagavan feature, okay, which is completely in the Bheda aspect, okay. So in the locus of the Goloka, in the Shweta Dvipa, so this is the Krishna Swarupa, his ultimate personality of Krishna. So this is, realization of this, okay, with no contamination of other features. And then second one is Krishnasya Chinmaya Vrajalila Vilasa Swarupa. So this is the true nature, Vilasa, okay, the true nature of the Krishna's transcendental pastimes in Vraja. Okay, so Vrajalila, so realizing the true spiritual pastimes of Krishna in Vraja, okay, Goloka, in Vraja Gokul. Tat Parikara Gopi Jana Swarupa. This is the third realization here, is that the true nature of his spiritual associates in Praja, okay, so the spiritual milkmen and the milkmaids. So realizing them, okay, so the gopis. So one is the Krishna himself, number two is the pastimes, number three is his associates. Number four, Tadvallabha, the true nature of self-surrender to Krishna in the footsteps of the spiritual milkmaids of Vraja. So just like gopi, so we surrender unto Krishna. So this is the fourth thing in this process here. So next is Shuddha Jivasya Chid Jnana Swarupa. So here it means that the true nature of the spiritual knowledge of the unalloyed devotion, individual soul. So this true nature of this knowledge is embedded. This is not some kind of jnana mishra bhakti and all, but this is like shuddha bhakti. But this shuddha bhakti chintamani, this gemstone already has embedded in it all the nature of the spiritual knowledge, so that we don't have to go get this some extraneous jnana which is outside this bhakti, but this knowledge is already contained in that bhakti. And then number six is chit prakriti artat. So what does it mean? Krishna seva Swabhava, the true nature of the transcendental service to Krishna. So these six are the qualifications to be able to enter into that Shweta Dvipa. To that Shweta Dvipa. But this one, these six cannot be practiced as Abhideya. So what we need to practice is the Mahamantra, the chanting of the Mahamantra properly. So that is the Abhideya. But then here, these six will be where we get it at that stage, which cannot be, it's not like we have endeavoring to do this by a practice of realizing true nature of Krishna's transcendental pastimes in Vraja, but it happens at that stage. So this is how the entry into the Goloka is being described in the Hari Bhakti Vilasa. Now, this is my last slide or so. So to understand about Navadvipa and in relationship with Goloka. Okay. So in Navadvip, which is this you can find in verse number 4 or 5 in Brahma Samhita, where there's an elaborate description of how Navadvip in the purports, where Navadvip is an identical realm of Goloka, except that it is in the banks of the river Ganga. It's in the banks of the river Ganga. But here, Gaurachandra, just as Shyam Sundara, so Shyam Sundar, you have Gaurachandra here, who is Govinda and is the entity of pure cognition. But he has two hands. And he is the soul of all souls, who has the supreme great personality. And he appears here as a meditative sannyasin, sannyasadkrit krita chanto nishta shanti parayanahan, who is beyond the three mundane attributes. So all the mundane attributes is beyond this and makes the process of unalloyed devotion manifest in this mundane world. So he is, this Gaurasundar is able to manifest those unalloyed devotion, those pastimes in this, and he is the sole Godhead, and there is no difference. And this picture here shows that there is the Gaura Leela here in the Goloka, and then you have the Krishna Leela. So the self-same Gaurachandra, who is no other than Krishna himself, in order to taste the rasa of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Goloka, is manifest in the eternal realm of Navadvip, which is identical with Goloka. So here it says that this Navadvip is also the eternal realm of Goloka. And it's just that we have to have the eyes, the vision to be able to see so. So, and here, this Gaurachandra manifests the Leela of his birth in the womb of Sachi Devi in Navadvip on this mundane plane. Okay, but so this, again, just like how you have the Gokul, you have the Navadvip. So, what is the thing with this living entity? Gokul is in the spiritual plane. Okay, but it is condescended. I mentioned this before. Okay, but even though it is condescended into the material space and time, it is still unrestricted. It is unrestricted, it is unlimitedly manifest, and it is boundless. There is no time, there is no space-based restriction. There is nothing to this Goloka, to Gokul. But the conditioned souls, we are not able to see it. And why is that? Because we give a material conception to this Gokul. We give a material conception to this Gokul because we have miserable senses. And so as to bring them to the level of there, so that we can bring it to our intellect. So, but if we take out our intellect and not try to see that we are able to somehow try to bring it within our material grasp and try to understand it from our through our material intellect, we would be in a better position there. So, and through, although the eye of the observer, this is a citation by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that eye of an observer is impeded by a cloud. So we have a cloud and then we are trying to gaze the sun, okay, but the cloud is obstructing it. In the same way, the material cloud is completely obstructs us to see the spiritual world in this Gokul or the Navadvip, just as how the sun is covered by the cloud. So if we remove the material eyes and we have the spiritual vision to see so, at that time we will find this Gokul, this Vrindavan here in our mundane world as non-different from that of the Goloka. So the summary here is that the idea of Goloka is seen to differ from Gokul until one gets success in this Raghanuga Bhakti, this unalloyed, it is unalloyed devotion. There is no contamination. Until then, everything will seem different, and we won't be able to see. We will see a material zone and a spiritual zone. But at that time, when we are entirely successful in this unalloyed devotion, all we will be able to see is the spiritual domain. So this is a discussion for these prayers of these meditation by Srila Narottama Das Thakur. And if I've said anything wrong, if there is anything that we you'd like to add, please feel free to do so. I want to offer my humble obeisances and to all the Vaishnavas here. Vancha kalpatra bihascha kripa sindhu bhevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances, Jayanand Gauranga Prabhuji. Thank you for singing Vrindavan Ramya Sthanam by Narottam Das. Very beautifully you sang and explained all the stanzas in so much depth. Thank you for a beautiful slide. This is one of my favorite bhajans. Thank you so much for a very sweet nectarian class. Hare Krishna. Dear devotees, if you have any questions or realizations, please go ahead at this time.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, thank you so much. Thank you so much for choosing this bhajan, singing it and explaining it so nicely. Especially, I like the way you explained it from the Brahma Samhita's standpoint. I did have a question. When you were explaining Shweta Dweep in the spiritual world, that is Goloka, so why is it that the outer rectangle is called as Shweta Dweep according to the Brahma Samhita? Meaning, I am asking this because sometimes it is confusing to think that the abode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that is there in the, you know, somewhat in the outer realm of the Goloka Vrindavan or the extended realm of Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual abode of Lord Chaitanya sometimes is identified as Shweta Dweep. So I don't know if I'm getting confused here. Is it the outer section that is the Shweta Dweep or even the entire Goloka Vrindavan that is Shweta Dweep?
So Mataji, if we see the purport in verse number 56 of the Brahma Samhita, towards the end, you will get the answer to your question that the entire realm of this Goloka is called Shweta Dweepa. And there are no different, only those who are able to go to that kind of a rasa are able to enter this Goloka or Shweta Dweepa.
So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the purport itself, he says that it is the entire realm, right?
Yes.
Okay, Prabhu. Yeah, I think that should clarify. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhu. It was a very interesting class. Thank you so much for touching upon Prakat and Aprakata Leela, because that's an inherent feature also of the Chintamani Dham. So it was very, very nice, very meditative session. And also, I was pleasantly surprised, I should say, that you took it up from Brahma Samhita, which was so much philosophical and more explanatory. So thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Anita Mataji, please unmute yourself.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes, Sukaga Krishna Prabhu raised his
hand. Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Sukaga Krishna Prabhu will go with the raised hands, Mataji. Sorry. Sukaga Krishna Prabhu, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Jayananda Varan Prabhu, you took us straight away to the Goloka today. So nice. We read in the books, but can you just tell me how do they get this Shastra Chakshu when we go to Vrindavan? You said this Vrindavan Gokula is actually Goloka. We are all chanting and going, we are seeing and we are forcibly seeing that it is, yes, Krishna has stayed here and we are not able to see Krishna. But in the sloka, it's told that if you go to Yamuna Tata and see Shama Sundar, then you can never go back and live in the material world. You'll get glued upon. So how that mood will come when we go there? We should not come back to the material world. We should be staying there only. What is the way that we can get really attracted and see that it is Goloka, it's non-different?
So, two parts to that. There will be more explanations to this, but one is the devotees with whom we are going there. So, or the devotees with whom we are seeing that place. Okay, the association of the devotees will make the difference. So, if somebody goes in a, let's say, as a tourist, they will not be able to see the place at all. But with the devotees' mercy, and the doors of Vrindavan will open. And by the causeless mercy of Krishna, but the mercy of the Vaishnavas, in many, many occasions, are even more than that of Krishna himself. Because you can see that even in the Bhagavatam, so many devotees were made by Narada Muni, who was, it is not like Krishna himself came and or Narayana came and made all these devotees, but the Narada Muni made so many devotees in the Bhagavatam. So those devotees who are already living in that plane and who are able to see it, by their mercy, will sometimes show us a window into that spiritual world. And this is not something that comes it is something that can be forced or practiced or anything. But all we can do from our stage is sincerely follow the instructions of the spiritual master and do the chanting properly. Most of this occurs by improper chanting, that we are not able to see anything. But if we are properly chanting, then that itself will open the door to the association of devotees. So the process is that sincere, proper chanting leads to association of devotees, and the association of devotees will lead to the next phase. But the in-between phase, association of devotees, is the key to everything after that, because that we should not take it very lightly. And somebody will be merciful to us and show us. So, is that okay, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. Actually, because when I was in Dubai for the last 20 years, there was Bhakti Bringa Gondiswami Maharaj. He's a very great disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And he has stayed in Vrindavan for more than 30 years. So, he has told Prabhu, you come once in Kartik time, come for 7 days, and I will take you to each and every tree, every groove where Krishna and Radha had passed time, because somehow by Prabhupada's mercy, I could see. So this Kartik Mela, I'm planning to go. So I want all the Bhakti Sangha, also devotees want to come. Because Bibi Govinda Maharaj said, if you stay with me, I will surely show you what all happened here. Of course, we had to be pure and we should be chanting properly. Otherwise, we cannot see it. But he has made an offer. So I want to go this year. So I will inform all of you who are interested, can join, and we can just be with Maharaj and see for 7 days. Thank you, Prabhu. Thanks for the wonderful explanation. You did so super. Romba nanar. Fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks.
Ganeshwari Lakshmi Mataji, please unmute yourself.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so very much for a beautiful class. I have a couple of questions. first one, so when you say everything is centralized, you were saying how everything is centralized. So I understood from that that meaning centralized in devotion, meaning that everybody is so focused in devotional service that there is no conflict. Everything is always focused on Krishna and devotion. Is that how I'm to understand it? When you were comparing it to the material realm, as there's so much difficulty or what, I can't remember the word you're talking about. But
so the word centralized is used in the purport by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur just in one place in the Brahma Samhita. And in the context in which it appears, I will say, and then you would be able to see what it says on your own, Bhattaji. The context in which it has been written there is that in the material world, you have, let's say the sun is in one place, the moon is somewhere else, the stars are somewhere. So there is everything is all over, it is suddenly you have less sunlight coming in one place, sunlight is not there in the other place. Mm. So, but that is not how the spiritual world is. Because here there is a variegatedness, but this variegatedness of sun somewhere, moon somewhere, star somewhere, planet somewhere, everything is it's all spread out. There's chaos here. Mm. But in the spiritual world, everywhere it is effulgent, even though there is variegatedness. So it is just a comparison. He has just used the word centralized just to compare the variegatedness in the material world versus the variegatedness in the spiritual world. The variegatedness in the material world, for our material eyes, is appearing as matter in different places. It appears different everywhere. But mm. in the spiritual world, that variegatedness, it appears for example, if you take the top of a mountain and the bottom of a mountain, the top of the mountain may have a snow in the top of the mountain. The bottom of the mountain may have trees because of rain, or maybe no tree because of no rain. So there is this variegatedness, but it is all in a divided way like this in the material zone. But in the spiritual zone, the top of a Govardhan mountain, the bottom of the Govardhan mountain, everything is the same, but you still have the variety, but it is spiritual. It is. So in that context, he has used the word centralized.
Okay.
I wouldn't go too much into the word. It just appears once in that.
Yeah, I'll look at your slides and maybe my question will become more clear for me. And the other question I had, okay. So when you were speaking about, and I might have missed it, Shweta Dvipa and Goloka and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. So our understanding is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternally, just like Krishna is eternal. I mean, he's the pinnacle. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also there equally as eternal. It's not like he's come down, Krishna has come down as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this material realm. He's there eternally in Goloka Vrindavan also.
Correct.
That's yes.
That is what the purport is saying here. He is eternally present, and those are the non-manifest pastimes. And when he wants to manifest it here in front of our eyes, then he appears in a Navadvip here in the mundane plane.
Okay. My last question is, can you explain about the unmanifest and manifest? So this is what I understand. That in Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual sky, Krishna's pastimes are eternally happening. And in Gokul, they're also eternally happening, but they're unmanifest before our eyes. Except sometimes when Krishna was here, they're manifest at that point. I'm just confused about manifest and unmanifest, when and where. So can you clarify for me?
So Mataji, in Goloka, in the spiritual world, everything is eternally manifested for those denizens there. But for us, it is non-manifest because we are not able to see it.
Right.
But so we are using the word non-manifest, but that doesn't mean that it is not getting, it is always going, it is manifest for those who are in Goloka. It is non-manifest for us because we are not able to see it.
Okay, I got that.
So here in the material domain, we are calling it manifest. Whenever Krishna comes here, it is manifest. But right now, it is not manifest here also.
Okay.
Because here also, we are not able to see it. But it is manifest whenever Krishna comes here. At that time, it is manifest. Whatever we are seeing here, we can only see here in this Gokul. In Vrindavan here, in the Mathura district. There, we are able to see. So anything that is manifest for us is only here. But in Goloka, so that is the difference between the words non-manifest and manifest here. Non-manifest just means that it is not manifested for our material eyes.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, thank you.
But actually speaking, everything is manifest everywhere all the time. It is just that we are not able to, it is not manifest for our eyes. But if we reach a stage where we are able to see the Goloka, at that time in this Gokul or in the Goloka, it will be manifest for us.
Okay, so that's...
that we are not able to see, we have not reached the stage where it is manifest for us.
Okay, so for those people, so for example, Narottama Das Thakur, he could see, since he was a pure devotee, since he had the divine vision, he could actually see this. It's not something like, for example, we're right now discussing something that we can't see. This is all just by listening to other people. We are quoting and citing and stuff. But Narottama Das Thakur is actually there. He's watching it. He's seeing it. Yes. And he's able to sing it.
Correct.
And we are enjoying. Okay, got it. Thank you.
It is manifest for Narottama Das Thakur. It is just not manifest for us. That's all.
Right. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Prabhu Valli, Mataji, please unmute yourself.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Very nice presentation, wonderful session, and with all the good pictures and all, it is as if you are taking us to the Vrindavan, and the explanation was very good. I wanted to ask the question was previously asked by Sugakara Prabhuji, so I no need to ask any questions. I just want to appreciate you for your slide presentation. Kindly share the presentation with the group, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandarshana.
Anita, Ramya Mataji, please unmute yourself.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, we're not able to hear you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare
Krishna, Mataji. I couldn't hear. Am I audible?
A little bit.
You were saying about the Shweta Deepa, right? In Goloka and in Monday world. The Shweta Deepa in Goloka, you were saying. Sorry, I think too much of noise. So in Goloka, the Shweta Deepa, you were saying that the milk of the cows, right? So that I couldn't understand it properly. And one more thing is, in mundane world, the Shweta Deepa, the Mahavishnu is lying, the milk ocean, Vishnu is lying. Is that inside the material universe, you were mentioning about the Kshirudakshaya Vishnu, or it's the Karana ocean, Mahavishnu?
So the material universe, Shweta Dweepa, is where the Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu, the Vishnu in the milk ocean, is lying. That is called Shweta Dweepa. But that Shweta Dweepa and this Shweta Dweepa, they are just not even connected. The Goloka being referred to as Shweta Dweepa here in the Brahma Samhita, verse 5 and verse 56, is referring to Shweta Dweepa here because it's so pure. It is so pure that it's spotless, pure, unalloyed devotion. Those who are in that kind of a rasa are able to go to that thing. But I would not read, if there's any little confusion, I wouldn't even read much into the word Shweta Dweepa. This Shweta Dweepa and that Shweta Dweepa are like spoken extremely different contexts. There is no connection there.
Okay, Prabhuji.
Hare
Krishna. Thank you.
Okay, thank you
much.
Hare Krishna.
Parima Mataji, please unmute yourself.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I just had one question. I am still having a little bit of confusion between Gokula and Goloka.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you please explain that again, please, Prabhuji?
So Gokul, Mataji, if you if you fly or go by train to Mathura, and from there you travel to Vrindavan, Gokul, so that place is what is called as Gokul. Okay, that which you're able to go by train and plane and bus, that place is called as Gokul. Mm-hmm. That's what in these slides. But Goloka refers to a plane in the Vaikuntha.
Okay.
It is in the spiritual world. Gokul is here in our earth, in front of our eyes, in front of our material eyes. But Goloka refers to what is called as Goloka Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. That refers to the Vraja Goloka in the Vaikuntha planet. It is entirely in the spiritual domain. It is never manifest. It is always manifest only. It is eternally there. It is eternally there going on in Goloka. But whenever material universes get created, destroyed, recreated, in those universes, that Goloka, by Krishna's desire, also condescends and comes here for us to be able to see with our material eyes within the realm of time and space, and it appears as Gokul or... you got it, Pataji?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. I was kind of confused. At, okay, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Thank you for the Nectarian class. Prabhuji, can you please share this entire PPT on our group?
Yes.
That's so wonderful. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Dandat Pranams.
Sukh Sagri Mataji, please unmute yourself.
Hey Krishna Prabhuji, Dandat Pranams. Thank you for the nice class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, my questions were also in the same line like what Parima Mataji just mentioned. I think one of your slides mentioned that Gokula and Goloka are the same. So I was confused at that because my understanding is that Goloka is like the spiritual realm, which includes Vraja, Gokul, Mathura. Like that, so that's why I was also confused.
Goloka, that is that place, Goloka, same as Gokul. That is for those who are able to see the Goloka in Gokul, not for us. For us, the Gokul is there. You travel from Mathura, then you go to Vrindavan Gokul. That is the Gokul, the Vraja Bhumi that we see in the Mathura district. That is the Gokul that we are able to see. That Gokul, for a materialist, for material eyes, the Gokul here and the Goloka are different. But when is the Goloka and Gokul same? For Narottama Das Thakur, it is the same. Because he's able to see the Goloka and Gokul as non-different.
Yeah, so when you're saying Goloka and Gokula, you're just referring to the difference between the spiritual and the material realm.
Correct.
In that sense, not the
actual... That is what is being referred. Gokul is in the material world, Goloka is in Vaikuntha.
Yes, bro, but Goloka also has a Gokul aspect to it, but we're not discussing about that now. So that's what, in that context, you're trying to explain. So, yeah, my other question was also, Prabhuji, I heard in one of the classes that the Navadvipa in the spiritual realm is actually Shweta Dvipa. So was that the one you were referring to? Or because there's so many connotations to each of these words in the Vaikuntha realm as well as the material realm, which is, of course, you know, like you say, exalted devotees see them as a spiritual realm. So... I mean, was that the same or is that different?
So, Mataji, what I would probably suggest here is if we again, you probably already went through the verse, but if you go through the 56th verse purport, it will clearly explain you that the at the end, you will see the thing that states that the Shweta Dvipa is pretty much the... I think the word Shweta Dvipa verse, I don't know whether I should have even taken this, but it's the... It's the same, you know, it is the supreme Shweta Dvipa is indivisibly, it is the same as the Goloka.
Fifty-sixth verse of the Brahma Samhita, Prabhuji.
Mm.
You said
I mean,
there is much in the purport. You can.
I mean, in terms of. I'm just trying to see.
So otherwise, it'll become a whole discussion on Brahma Samhita verse. But
yeah,
but you can take a look at it, Mataji 56. It will explain you about this Shvetadvipa and how it is and what is the connection between Shvetadvipa and Goloka.
That which is.
Actually pretty long, elaborate, good purport here is there. So just to clarify, I will read at least one sentence there, which will make it all clear, I think, here. Let's see.
Can you screen share also so everyone can see?
I'm actually doing it on my cell phone, Mataji, just one second.
Also do that, Prabhu, for you.
Search because
yeah, can someone put the link now. Sukhsagari Mataji, did you open in the phone? Can you put the link in the chat box? I can quickly open here.
Let me just
or you can also put Prabhu in the chat box. Somebody can put the link for me, otherwise I can directly.
1 minute, Vinita. I will.
No, and the problem is it's out of Veda base, so you'll have to go to a different website to catch hold of the text.
It's there in the Veda base.
It's there in the Veda base.
In the Veda base. I'm seeing it in Veda base.
Yes. I got it, Mataji. I'm going to share it on the screen so everybody can see.
Prabhuji, I think that Shvetadvipa, which is given there, is kind of referring to the viewpoint per se and not the actual ones. At least in the purport, if I understood correctly.
Which last paragraph you said, right, Prabhuji?
Yeah, the last paragraph you can. So this also eternally exists only in the self same Shvetadvipa. This thing, and I will also see one more place where I have a site of verse number 5. I think I'll see that also once again. Verse 5. There, if we go to the purport once again, verse 5.
Probably, I think also the first paragraph is giving the detail of how it is actually the viewpoint. Rather than the actual Shvetadvipa. If you see the fourth line there, those who attain the highest rasa in the shape of realization of pure devotion in this world, viewing the reality of Shvetadvipa, viewing the reality of Shvetadvipa in Gokula, Vrindavan, and Navadvipa within this mundane world, designate the same as Goloka. I think these are like different viewpoints, like perspectives, if you ask me.
But in a sense, Mataji, the word Shvetadvipa is used for Goloka. That is all there is. I mean, I don't think we should just get confused just because there's a word Shvetadvipa, I think, because the I'll see one second. Mataji, can you put verse number 5?
Sure, Prabhuji. Sure, Prabhuji. I'm moving it to 5. Yes.
So we'll just read this purport here, parts of it. Go a little down, Mataji, to this verse number 5. So
Yes, Prabhuji. No, oh, you're saying 5 of the verse number. Okay, why?
No, verse number 5, not 55.
Okay, let me just go there. Okay. I was thinking 4. Okay. Yeah, this is 5.
Okay, if we go to this purport. Okay, so primarily Gokul is a seat of transcendental love and devotion. Hence, Yamuna, Sri Govardhan, Radha Kund, all these. Okay, let's go down a bit to, let's go next paragraph, Mataji, where there's more description of there we stop there. So Shweta Dweep in Goloka is their place of abode. Mm-hmm. And so here it is, and hence the region of Navadweep, Vraja, and the realm of Goloka are one and the same indivisible entity. So if you see here, essentially the Shweta Dweep, Navadweep, Vraja, Goloka, everything, they are almost referring it to the same domain, you know. So there is this hidden principle which only the greatest souls who are possessed of the highest transcendental love are enabled to realize by the direct grace of Krishna. The truth is as follows. In this mundane world, there are 14 spheres disposed. Okay, so these are the 14 lokas up and down. And then let's go down, Mataji, to... So here, he's also talking about Karano Dakasai ocean, lying in the ocean of milk. Okay, so that, let's not get confused there. Okay, so that is the Shweta Dvipa actually in our universe. And then we go down, Mataji, more. Okay. Okay, the twofold, if you see here, again, the realm is called Shweta Dvipa. What is the realm? This is the seat of the rasa pastimes of the absolute Sri Krishna. Again, the realm is called Shweta Dvipa, owing to the realization of some of the rasas which are inconceivable manifestation derived from the untouched purity of the supreme realm. So it is just a Goloka because it is being achieved here only by those who are able to have that unalloyed manifestation is called as Shweta Dvipa. It's Shweta Dvipa is just is according to this sentence here. It says it is like a way to describe Goloka because it's those pure souls, untouched purity in the spiritual realms. Okay, so the twofold entities of the supreme Goloka and the supreme Shweta Dvipa are indivisibly the realm of Goloka. So it's not like in Goloka there is Shweta Dvipa. Here it says that it is indivisibly the realm of Goloka. The gist of the whole matter is Goloka as Shweta Dvipa is eternally manifest because the pleasures of enjoyment of rasa could not be had in its entirety in the pastimes of Krishna in Vraja.
Yes, Prabhu. So I think from what the purport says is that, and especially the translation, it clearly says that this is the outer realm of the Gokula. And then here they're just trying to qualify it that some of the rasas which are not manifest there are manifest in Shweta Dvipa. That's what it means. Owing to the realization of some of the rasas which are the inconceivable manifestation derived from the untouched purity of that spiritual realm. So some other rasas can be kind of evident in Shweta Dvipa, which, you know, and that's what is being described here. So in that sense, like they're different, but...
If there is some more confusion, Mataji, if maybe perhaps also we could also get it clarified from senior devotees in addition to whatever discussion we've had, I think. But it's a good discussion. There is some, the way the sentences are here, it is a little, it says, because I totally understand this, because in the translation, it says in a some way, but in the purport, it is mentioned in a way, which is like, if we read this thing, this is the seat of rasa, pastimes of absolute Sri Krishna. Again, the realm is called Shweta Dvipa, owing to the realization of some of the rasas, which are inconceivable manifestation derived from the untouched purity of the supreme realm. The twofold entities of supreme Goloka and the supreme Shweta Dvipa are indivisibly the realm of Goloka. So,
yeah, that's what it is saying, Prabhu. The realm is called Shweta Dvipa, owing to the realization of some of the rasas, which are inconceivable. So it's not like the complete rasas, it's some of the rasas, which are inconceivable manifest. So that is how Shweta Dvipa is different from there. But then it is also indivisibly the realm of Goloka. So it is coming under the realm. But then, like it says, there are some of the rasas which are inconceivable manifestation. So those are seen there.
Okay, so that is what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Mentions in the translation, it is the outer section, like a rectangular section. I think there is some geometry also they mentioned, like a rectangular section outside. And it's white in color. And
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for bringing this out.
And the translation.
Wonderful class.
Prabhuji, your voice was breaking.
It's there in the translation.
Yeah.
The rectangular thing. If you go up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it requires.
Prabhu, your voice is breaking, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
No, just more.
You are muted, Prabhuji.
Sorry, Mataji. I don't know. I got disconnected one more time. I don't know why, but Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So, is there any more questions?
That was a good discussion on Shweta and Goloka. So,
thank you. Yes, Prabhu, that's true. It was an interesting.
All of us has to Goloka in this life. We have to just pray and go.
Yes, have to.
Prabhu, no, the you know, at one point, if you know, it was if there was some more explanation to that, it would actually be helpful for all of us, you know, because Prabhupada purports a little more in a simple language, it is understandable, but here one or two sentences here and there is I think a little hard to comprehend also, but right. I will take the meaning whatever you all said. So
Prabhu showed that Goloka Rasamalai, we had to go now, somehow we had to chant and go. Chant and chant and chant and chant and go. That's all, nothing else.
Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, once again, I would like to thank His Grace, Jayanand Gauranga Prabhuji, for His valuable time and wonderful association this morning. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a very sweet Nectarian class. Looking forward to your wonderful association in the near future. Dear devotees, if there's no more realizations, I would like to pay my obeisances. Please, grace.
Prabhu's face also is looking like Goloka. Your face is looking like Goloka. Goloka face.
Do I have your permission to close the class, Prabhuji?
Goloka Jananda Prabhu ki jai.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, everyone, for joining today's class. We'll close the call today. Hari
Gauranga!
Gauranga! Gauranga!
Gauranga! Gauranga! Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam.
Prabhuji
Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam.
Hari Bol.
Gurdwara Lal Ki Jai Ho.
Jai Jai.